Our Father, we thank that we can come to Thee once again. We pray for Your blessing upon the service now and on the Word of God as it goes forth. Help us to understand the truths You have for us today. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. In the update, I wrote an article on false expectations for church attendance. So you may or may not have read that yet. It just came out in the last 24 hours. So... but if you haven't, right, I want to go over that. And we as a church here need to have a biblical perspective on what a local church is. And so I've kind of focused on these things. And the expectations, the biblical expectations that people ought to have when they join a church along with when they attend a church. In other words, why go to church? So in this, and I'm not going to read through this, but I'm going to use my points. But in this here in America, I believe American Christianity has a false understanding, I think, in a certain way, to what church is and what church attendance is. So we've got kind of an American perspective on Christianity. And quite often that, if it's unbiblical, then it's unbiblical. But we don't want an American understanding of church and church attendance, but we want a biblical understanding. And sometimes there's a big difference. And I've recognized this as having gone to other countries around the world and so on, that... number one, other countries don't necessarily appreciate American Christianity because they see all the baggage in it, because they are not looking at it as Americans, thinking anything an American does has to be right. Now, this is not an anti-American message, but we want to be biblical. We understand that. We want to be biblical. And also, quite often they don't have the wealth that America has, so they have to make do in their churches with what they have. And they have to have their churches functional within their confines and so on. So, part of American Christianity has the idea, the Protestant idea, that we as church members come to church and watch the clergy operate. And we sit back and watch the clergy because the clergy, they're the ones who can do everything, and we laity, we can't do anything. So we come to observe. We're observants. And so we come to observe the service. And in observing, we let the clergy do everything. Oh, that's interesting. Sometimes if I'm getting a little bored, I wish the clergy would spice things up a little bit. And so maybe I'll get some entertainment out of the clergy. And so I come. I observe and I leave. That's basically church and church attendance. Well, that's not a biblical pattern. Biblical pattern is that everyone comes and everyone ministers in Christ's body. This is His body. He meets here. And so this is not just any other organization where we come to meet, but this is a local church where Christ is the foundation. He's the head. It's His body. He meets regularly. The angels come and they learn, and we ought to be here. So, quite often there are wrong understandings of what a church is and also why attend. So some people come around to different churches and maybe as professed Christians, and they're looking around and they come around with a consumer mindset that, what can I get? What's the best deal for me? What's the best deal? So, their mindset is, what can this church offer me? What's the best deal for me? And so they have a consumer mindset, and it's all about me. What can this church do for me? It's all about me, and if this church doesn't help me and meet my needs and expectations I have, then I'll go to one that does, and I'll hop around. So we have this mindset that goes on. Now, what I've listed in the update are 8 points, I think, that we need to consider for reasons for attendance in a church. Now, this is directed primarily towards professed believers and why professed believers ought to attend church services. Now, that almost seems like an obvious point, a non sequitur, but nevertheless, why should church members attend church? Well, let me go through these reasons, and they're not necessarily new reasons for you, but they're reasons that I think we need to have be well grounded upon, and then we can also use these to help others as well. For instance, the first point is it's a divine requirement which must not be forsaken. It's a divine requirement. So the Lord is the one who says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So not forsaking. Now, not forsaking means just what it's saying. But forsaking here is negated, but forsaking is a what's called an active participle, and so it has to do with continual practice, a continual practice of forsaking. In other words, we all realize occasionally things occur where a person can't make it to church attendance. There's a sickness. There may be an employment. There may be a vehicle breakdown. I mean, there may be several of these things and other things that would cause a person from time to time to miss the church services. I'm not dealing with that so much as I am with those who are professed church members and don't show up and forsake the assembly. And it becomes a pattern. So it becomes a pattern. So first of all, there's a divine requirement. The Lord wants believers to be in the house of God, to be in the assembly. And so if for no other reason, the Lord requires it. Well, that seems like it's a pretty good reason, right? If we're going to obey the Lord, then we ought to obey Him as something that's very elementary and very basic, and that is to assemble in the church. And so part of what I'm doing here, obviously, you all are here. So it's the ones in these, see these chairs are empty? They're the ones that need to hear this, but, and some of them may hear this via the internet, but this is also for you because we've got some young people here who may grow up and move away, or may not always be here, or you may not always be here. And so this is teaching for all of us. Whether we're here today or not, it's teaching out of the Scripture. So certainly there's a divine requirement. And most people, most Christians are familiar with the verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, that is a divine command. We're not to do that. All right, secondly, the New Testament assembly is the divine institution for truth. It's the divine institution for truth. Paul made it clear there in 1 Timothy 3:15. Where he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So this is the place of the truth. No other place, but the institution of the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So if you're interested in truth, you ought to be in the place that has the truth. Don't tell me you love truth and never show up for church. It's the place for truth. Now, the Lord said that. That doesn't mean, and I'm not saying here, the Bible Baptist Church is the only church that has any truth. And I'm not saying Bible Baptist Church has all the truth. But certainly, we are attempting to open the Word of God and allow the truth to speak to hearts. And so, we can say with those parameters, the Bible Baptist Church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We can say that. And so, if you're a member here, or whatever you're a member, you ought to be in that pillar and ground of the truth. You ought to be there. So, it's the divine institution. Now, there's a lot of people claiming they have truth, and a lot of organizations, and even in the secular world, people are saying, well, we have the truth. Here's the truth on this. No, there's the truth over here, and back and forth argue about truth. But truth is absolute, and truth is based on the Word of God and the Word of God's been given exclusively to the local church, so it's the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where absolute truth is. Thirdly, the local church is the exclusive institution for sanctification through the Word of God. It's the exclusive institution for sanctification through the Word of God. Now, sanctification has to do with separation from the world unto the Lord. It has to do with spiritual growth. We grow in sanctification. But the local church is the only place where you can grow spiritually. Now, the Lord said there in John 17:17, in his prayer to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So, first of all, you're sanctified through the Word of God. The Word of God is the means by which God uses to sanctify you, to set you apart from the world unto Him. It's the means by which He uses to help us grow in our sainthood, grow in our holiness, be conformed to the image of Christ. And the Word of God has been given exclusively to the local church. So we have the local church and the Word of God. They come together. Where do they come together practically? Only in the local church, from the Lord's point of view. So the local church is the exclusive institution for sanctification. Now, sometimes people go to Bible studies that are not sanctioned by any church. It's just a group of Christians studying the Bible. But something like that has no guarantee of divine authority. See, it has no guarantee of divine authority. We're talking about divine authority. Authority is given only to the local church. In fact, authority is given to the local church to carry out the Great Commission, and exclusively to the local church to carry out the Great Commission. And so the Great Commission is what? Winning people to Christ, getting them baptized, teaching them in the Word of God. These are the exclusive truths given to the local church. And so, sanctification. Some people think, well, by reading a book, by reading a devotional book, by going to this non-church Bible study, by going over here or doing that, I grow in my sanctification and I can take or leave church. No, you can't. You're not going to grow in sanctification. Sanctification is in the institution that God has ordained for sanctification. That's the local church. All right. Fourth point is the primary reason for attendance is to learn doctrine. Now, you might think I dreamed that up, but I didn't. Let's turn here over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 42, Acts 2:42 says, here on the day of Pentecost, after 3,000 were baptized and added to the 120, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Now notice that we have four items here, and they're given in divine order. The first thing in the order is apostles' doctrine. Now, some people say, well, I go to church for a social outlet, for a fellowship, although there is a place for that. No question there's a place for that. It is not primary, it's secondary. Primary is church is the place where teaching, doctrinal teaching, is to give, be given. And so everyone, every Christian, needs to be taught the Word of God. That's part of the Great Commission. And we grow in the Word of God. And as we grow in the Word of God, we grow in our sanctification. And so the local church is primarily to teach the Scripture. And so we all need to be taught in the Scripture. Now, there are other things, but and we have an order here. Fellowship. But notice here, you really can't have fellowship unless you're fellowshipping around truths. It's hard to have fellowship with people who have different views because you don't fellowship with them. You fellowship around the truth of doctrine. Breaking of bread, I believe this is a technical term for the Lord's Supper. You don't have the Lord's Supper, as Paul indicates in 1 Corinthians 11, unless you're in unity around truth. And so the ordinance here, the Lord's Supper, and then in prayers. Once again, the prayers, we don't come to church for prayers primarily, but secondarily to pray. But we do that because we have a common doctrinal position. Once again, it's very difficult to pray with people who have different doctrinal views. You follow that? And so the unity comes with the Scripture, with the truth. And so we must keep this in mind. And so when you come to church, and hopefully when you come to Bible Baptist Church, you're coming primarily to understand this is where the Word of God is going to be taught, so you can grow in the Word of God. And if it's the Word of God is taught, and you're with other people who want the teaching, then you can fellowship with them. You see that? But you don't. You shouldn't keep in mind, or you shouldn't have in your mind, I'm looking for a church. The primary reason I'm looking for a church is to meet my social needs. I've got social needs. I need to meet Christians. I need to have fellowship with Christians. Now, quite often, this is what's given forth. I need to have fellowship with other Christians. No, your primary need is to have biblical teaching. So this is the place for teaching. This is the school for teaching. You come to school to learn how to live, you see. And so now, who wrote verse 42? Did I write that in your Bible? No, I didn't write that in your Bible. The Lord wrote that. He's the one who gives the order here. And so if and when some leave here, you go somewhere else, you need to go someplace that's going to teach the truth. That's the main thing you're looking for. And if you find that place, then you can have fellowship with others. But if you go to have fellowship primarily, I want to have social needs met, then you'll be going to a church that primarily focuses on social needs, and there'll be a lot of get-togethers and gatherings and all these things, but the doctrine's put way over here, and before you know it, your good buddies with people have false teaching. Amen. And then it's hard to make the disconnect there. Well, these are such good people. They just don't believe in the Trinity, for instance, but they're good people. Well, you get caught in the trap. You see that? And so the Scripture here is clear. And so you come to learn the teaching, the doctrine, the truth, the Scripture. Now, these other things are important as well. I'm not saying they're not important, but notice this is an inspired order. It's an inspired order. Apostles' doctrine. What's that? That was the teaching the apostles got from the Lord before they wrote it down. All right, now next, fifth point is the gathering of the assembly is the only practical means by which the believer can meet corporately with the Lord and worship Him in the ordinances. So it's the only place you can meet corporately with the Lord and then worship Him in the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. You don't come to church. You don't think attendance is important, then you're going to miss out on corporate worship, and you're going to miss out on the ordinances. And so these are important. For instance, I give some verses here. 1 Corinthians 11:20, Paul says, when you come together, therefore, in the one place. Now, in the context there, it's to eat the Lord's Supper, and it's not to eat just a meal. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. If you're hit and miss on church attendance, you're going to hit and miss the ordinances. You're going to hit and miss corporate fellowship with the Lord. And another passage, that's 1 Corinthians 11:20-26. Another passage is in Acts 2:41. When they gladly received His word, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. So it's in the local church that ordinances are carried out. Ordinances are not carried out in Bible studies. Now, we're thankful for the Bible study we have here in Manchester, but that Bible study is under the auspices of this church. It's not acting independently. Somebody over there in the Bible study get saved needs to be baptized. That Bible study is not going to baptize them. They'll get baptized through our church here. You see that? And so we all understand that. But it's the only place to worship the Lord and the ordinances. And then another passage I give is 1 Peter 4:10. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is the place where you exercise your gifts as part of your ministry, is exercising your spiritual gift. You don't come to church. You might say, well, I exercise my spiritual gift at work. Well, that's not the primary reason for your spiritual gift. You need to be exercising it in the body of Christ, in the local church. This is the place where you exercise it. And so when you don't, not in church, how are you going to be exercising that spiritual gift? All right, then six. The local church is the only institution which has divinely given men for her benefit. So local church is the only institution that has divinely given men. Now Paul says there in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So the Lord gives the local churches Christian leadership to help the flock. He gives this leadership. If you don't show up for local church attendance, don't have this attendance and so on, then you're going to miss the gift that God has given to the local church. He gives gifted men as a gift to the people. And he wants his people under the under-shepherd. He's the over-shepherd, but he wants them under the under-shepherd. The problem with the universal church, once again, is that it removes the under-shepherd. And so people think, well, I'm in the big body under the one head of Christ, and I don't need any pastors because I've got the Lord as my pastor. No, that's not the way he set up New Testament Christianity. Amen. Your thinking and his thinking are different. Maybe you ought to get his thinking down and not yours. And so he gives men for the benefit of the local church. All right, then seven. The gathered assembly is the only place where saints can receive divinely authorized feeding and spiritual care. Only place to receive divinely authorized feeding and spiritual care. Acts 20:28. Now let's turn there. Acts 20:28. Where Paul says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, the context here is very clearly, if you look back in verse 17, he's talking about the elders of the Ephesian church, and they were to feed the church of God. That's the name given to the Ephesian church. So the elders, or the shepherds, are to feed the church. And this is the way he's designed things. And so the assembly is the place where sheep get fed. Now, sheep will want to eat. So if we use a natural analogy here, sheep will want to eat. And if sheep aren't cared for by the shepherd, they will find some place to eat. Amen. And quite often their eating will be junk food. And we got too many Christians that grow up on junk food. It's all kinds of things, hit and miss and so on. And you talk to them and they're all over the place theologically because they've never had any real decent meals. They've just ate a lot of junk food, as it were. And it's the place for spiritual care as well, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Brother Davison was sharing with me that he knows sheep and sheep herding and so on, but said when sheep get away from the flock, they're out there wandering around, no help. They're very vulnerable to the enemy. They are scared and frightened, and this quite often happens with believers who don't attend their church services. They're out there and they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to anybody else. They're vulnerable to the cults. They're vulnerable to picking up false teaching and everything associated with that. And so the church then, the local church, is the place where the flock is fed. The flock is fed there, and it's the only authorized feeding. But as I say, if you're not getting fed here, people will try to get fed somewhere else. And quite often, they're getting fed by individuals or groups or movements that are outside of the authority of the local church, and so they're getting false teaching. False teaching. Now, all of you mothers know what it's like, and wives know what it's like to cook a nice big meal for your family and find out right before mealtime maybe the kids get sick and so they can't eat it. So there you've worked all day for a nice meal and they can't eat the meal. Or you make a nice big meal for your husband and he calls right at the last minute and says, I've got to work late and it's going to be real late, so put the food in the refrigerator and so on. I can't make it. Well, the analogy here is that meals are prepared for you, so you'll come and benefit from them. And when you don't come, then you're missing out. And so this is the place where the saints, where the flock receives authorized feeding and care from those in leadership. And then the eighth point is the New Testament assembly is the only means by which one can exercise financial stewardship in this dispensation. For instance, Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So here, the first day of the week, this is the day when we give our collections and offerings and so on. Now, I know this, when you're not here, when church members don't go to church, when they don't show up, they don't bring their pocketbook. You ever think of that? They don't bring their checkbook. And when people don't show up for church, they don't bring their financial stewardship responsibility. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? They don't show up. They don't give. Now, I'm saying this for your benefit. I'm thankful for our church and where we are financially and so on, but this is for your benefit. Now, I mentioned the other day as an example to you that even though I was going to be gone a Sunday in Ireland, I had my check here for that Sunday in advance for the plate to indicate that even though I miss church, that doesn't mean that's a Sunday off from giving. Boy, I get a Sunday off. I don't have to give the Sundays I don't show up. Think of this, a great deal. And this may be in part why some miss, because they don't want to carry through their financial stewardship. No, if you're a church member, you have that obligation for the Lord. You have that obligation for the Lord. And so, but it becomes very obvious if you're not here, you cannot take care of your financial stewardship. And this is the place where financial stewardship for a Christian is dealt with, in the local church, giving us in and through the local church. It's not through some other way. All right, now I've gone through these these points here, but we've got a diverse congregation here. And we've got younger people, elderly people. We've got various groups of people, some with families, some that don't have families, some at different age groups and so on and so forth. And I like to think, and I'm not saying I don't think this, that people come here primarily for the truth of Scripture. If you come here for a specific social fellowship of a certain age group, you'll probably be in a minority, you see. But that shouldn't be the reason that you're coming. The reason you ought to be coming, first of all, is to grow in the Word of God. And then if you'll be faithful, you see, in these areas, then in time the Lord might meet some of the other needs. And in fact, I do think He meets these needs, that if you're coming here to seek the truth, then He can give you fellowship regardless of what your age group is, or what your occupation is, or whether you have a family, or whether you're homeschool, or if you're a single person. He can meet your needs in the fellowship around the truth. But if you come here looking for, I want a certain age group, I'm this age, and I want this age group, and I want to be ministered with regard to this age group, you're probably going to miss out here. But that's the wrong reason. But I think this is the reason why some people come here, and they look around, and they say, no, they don't have my age group here. They don't have my little specialty that I'm looking for here, and so I'm not coming back. Now, there may be other reasons, but I think this is one of the reasons. But the bigger point here is I'm not so concerned about them who aren't here, but we who are here, that we have a biblical perspective on not only what does the church mean, but secondly, on church attendance. On church attendance. So when we can, we ought to be here. And as I mentioned, that this is not an effort to go after those who don't have a spotless record here. We're not talking about that. We're talking about those who persistently, consistently miss for one reason or the other. And this would be true in any local church. And this would be true if you go to another local church and join another one sometime. These are points that you ought to have in mind. That you're looking, first of all, for a church that will teach the Word of God. And then everything else will sort out. It will sort out. All right, now, sometimes people say, well, I can't worship there because of personality conflicts. I don't like the pastor. I don't like so-and-so over there, so I'm not coming back. Personality conflicts. You know what Paul had to say about that? Well, let's look over there in Ephesians chapter 2, since you asked that excellent question. Here's what Paul said about that. When people say, I'd go to that church, but there are people there I just can't get along with. There's personality conflicts. Or the pastor, I just don't like him. Oh, he teaches the truth, but I just don't like him. Well, here's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. He said this relating to probably the two groups that had the greatest enmity between each other in all human history, and that would be Jews and Gentiles. In fact, anti-Semitism is still a big issue worldwide. And he says this, 2:13, But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, as the Gentiles, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So there's no more division, the middle wall has been broken down. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. And this would deal with the kosher diets and the Sabbath keeping and the circumcision, these things. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So Christ slew the enmity between Jew and Gentile. There now is no more enmity. That's because the blood of Christ covers the sin of all sinners, Jew and Gentile. And so when somebody says, well, I just can't go to that church because of personality conflicts. I don't like so-and-so back there, but I like them over there, and so on. The blood of Christ covers all that, and grace is available for you. In fact, maybe that's why you need to be in a church where there are some people that might trick you to one wrong way so you can learn the grace of God and appreciate their spiritual gift and so on. And then sometimes people talk about their social or cultural idiosyncrasies that they have, so they don't like to be around other people and so on and so forth. But here, Peter answers this, and I've covered this several times now, but 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And so we need to come to church realizing there will be other sinners there. Do you know that? Other sinners show up in our congregation every Sunday morning. I'm one of the first sinners that get here. But we have a house full of sinners here. But God's grace is available to help us overcome the idiosyncrasies that we might see in them and say, you know, you just rubbed me the wrong way. Well, how about some love on your part? How about have fervent charity? That you love somebody far beyond the idiosyncrasy irritation they level your way. How about your love is greater than their irritation? Is that possible? Well, it is possible with the Lord. It's possible in the local church. If you went to a church where the only people there were the people you liked, there may only be one person in that church. And that might be up for debate. So, no, we don't go to churches where we naturally like everybody. We go there because we supernaturally enjoy people. It has to be the supernatural rendering there. But these are some of the carnal reasons that people don't go to church, or they don't come back to church, or they don't join churches. These are some of the carnal reasons. And yet, we who are here need to hear these as well so we can help others. And in the future, if we were to leave here and go somewhere else, we better be thinking of the biblical reason for a church attendance, a church membership, church attendance, and have this biblical perspective rather than a false perspective. It's too bad that a great deal of American Christianity has a false understanding here, and consequently there are ongoing problems, and the Lord's churches are hurt because of false teaching. But we want to make sure we have biblical teaching here on even church attendance and why we should be faithful in our church attendance when possible. When possible. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that we can open the Word of God and look at these truths. We pray that You'll help us all have these truths instilled in our hearts and lives, and that we'll demonstrate them, and that this will be beneficial to others as well that may hear this on the Internet. Bless our assembly now. Help us to go forward for Thee, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.